Well, friends, I have with me today a bottle of water. And what I want you to know is this is not just your average, ordinary, typical bottle of water. In fact, I want you to take a look at it, kind of study it for a minute. I know it's kind of hard to see, but think about what type of water could this be? It's not your typical water. And then on the count of three, I just want you to be bold. On all of our campuses, I want you to lean to somebody next to you on the count of three and just tell them what type of water you think is in this bottle. You got it? So get in your head here. Now on the count of three, just lean to somebody, all campuses, and just say it out loud. Here we go. One, two, three. Yeah, all kinds of great, great guesses. I am so thrilled to present to you today that this is Lake Pleasant water. Yeah, Lake Pleasant water. And for some of you, maybe you're not familiar with Lake Pleasant. It is a lake, pretty large lake, on the northwest side of Phoenix here. It's only about 20 miles, 25 miles from my house, so I go over there occasionally with my family. And if you've never been there before, or maybe it's been way too long since you have been to Lake Pleasant, today it is my honor to present this to you. This is Lake Pleasant. And so it's pretty exciting. And I know some of you right now are going, well, Todd, that's not really Lake Pleasant. Well, yes, it is. You're saying, well, I mean, it's not all of Lake Pleasant, Todd. Well, of course not. It's not all of Lake Pleasant, but it's all Lake Pleasant. You follow me? Of course it's not all of Lake Pleasant, but it's all Lake Pleasant. Inside here is 100% pure, undiluted, no additives, no preservatives, Lake Pleasant, right here in this bottle. It's all Lake Pleasant. And I bring this up because we're in a series right now called Ghost Stories. And we're studying the Holy Ghost, more oftentimes in our culture referred to as the Holy Spirit of God. And what we've been talking about is that if you repent of your sins, if you're baptized into Jesus Christ, that you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. You have God in you. Now, do you have all of God in you? No. You don't have all of God in you. I mean, there's plenty of God to go around, right? But what you have is all God. Pure, undiluted, high octane God in you. I love how Paul says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 in the Bible. He says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you. You see, friends, God doesn't live anymore in temples built by men. He doesn't live in this room on whatever campus it is you're attending. The Bible says that He lives in you. And when God gets in you, by the presence of His Holy Spirit, there is always going to be power evident in your life. This is a really good topic for this weekend because we have a lot of stars, people, and athletes on some of our CCV campuses. And whether you're involved in stars or just an athlete, every athlete knows that what you're always looking for is that extra power, right? Like that competitive edge so you can win the game. You see, here's the thing. As Christians, we actually believe that the Holy Spirit is like that competitive edge that God gives us. The Holy Spirit is like that power that God puts inside of us so that we can prevail in the Christian life, so that we can win in the Christian life. And whenever you're reading the Bible, wherever you find the Holy Spirit coming upon someone or in someone, there is always, always power associated with it. If you have a program, if you got a program when you came in today, take a look at that. And let's just start by heading in the same direction. Let's look at just several different places in the Bible that talk about power coming from the Holy Spirit and His presence in people's lives. The first place is in Judges chapter 14, verse 6. It's a guy named Samson. You probably know him. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he may have torn apart a young goat." And then I love this next sentence. "But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done." Isn't that good? There's some extra information there for students, by the way. If you start tearing apart lions and goats, don't tell your parents, okay? Especially your mom. She's not going to understand that, okay? She's going to be nervous about that, but that's what happens to him when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon him. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, it says that the power comes upon David when he is anointed the new and future king. In Isaiah chapter 11, it's a prophecy about Jesus from the Old Testament. It says that when he comes, there will be counsel and there will be understanding and there will be power. In Luke chapter 1, it's the angel with Mary and she's getting ready to have this baby, and it says the Holy Spirit will come upon you in power and the Most High will overshadow you. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is just beginning his ministry and he's returning to the sea people from Galilee, and it says that he comes to them in the power of the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells his disciples, tells his followers, look, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there's going to be power and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is talking about his preaching, and he says, my preaching, when I talk to you, it's not with wise or persuasive words. It's a demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. Finally, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is again speaking to Christians. Look at this. He says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of what? Power and love and self-discipline. Friends, the Holy Spirit equals power in your life. When you get God in you, there's power in your life. And so here's the question. In what ways should a person expect the Holy Spirit to display or dispense his power? What evidences should there be in a Christian's life that the power of God is inside of them? I want to share several of those things with you today, several things you can expect, evidences of God in your life. The first one is this: the Holy Spirit gives believers the power to speak and lead boldly. Several years ago, I was pastoring a church in Southern California, Ventura County area. That's where I spent the last 11 years of my life. And I was ready to preach for the weekend, and so I took some of my notes and I went down to the beach on a Saturday morning, which is something I typically did, and I just laid out my towel and I just began to study through my notes and prepare my mind. I was going to maybe go get in the water for a little bit, and I was looking around me, noticing people, and about 10 or 15 feet from me, there were several towels, but the only person sitting on these towels was a little boy, about 8 or 9 years old maybe. He had the California bleach blonde hair. He was just as cute as he could be. And so I looked over at him, kind of smiled, and he smiled back at me. So I looked away, looking around. I looked back at him again. And the next time I look at him, he's making all kinds of faces. And it feels like they're at me. And so I kind of look at him like, you know, this is me. And so I realize he's making faces at me. And so I start to think, you know, this is pretty disrespectful, you know, because I'm like an adult and he's like a kid. And so I look over again, and he's trying to throw sand. And so I am so close. I've had it, and I'm just about ready to put my notes down and get up off of my towel. And just as I'm getting ready to do that and walk over towards this kid, luckily, I see this huge guy coming out of the water. He's got the biggest surfboard I've ever seen in my life. He's got tattoos all over the place. He's got muscles on top of his muscles. He goes over and sits down by this kid on a full-size towel. When he's sitting on it, it looks like he's sitting on a washcloth. And I just, as I saw this happen, I just began to laugh out loud, thinking to myself, you know what? That's how this stinking kid can be so bold. He knows who's with him. That's what makes him so bold. In fact, I recently found a photograph that I think will help us visualize what this looks like. Right? It's just like, listen, folks, when you know who is with you, it gives you a holy boldness, and it gives you a power. In the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 4, there's this guy named Peter. And he has been preaching all throughout the book of Acts, and he's getting really bold. In fact, Peter and some of his buddies have just healed a guy who had been crippled for a long time. And Peter is really stirring things up, and so he gets arrested for talking about Jesus and healing this guy. And he gets brought in between for some of the most powerful leaders of that day. And the Holy Spirit comes upon Peter and allows him to speak and lead in a very bold way. Listen to this. Chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified.'" And by the way, some of the people were still in the audience. It wasn't too long ago who had crucified him. "Who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven to men by which we must be saved." And when they saw the courage of Peter and John, who was the guy with him, they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Now, it's true. These guys, Peter and John, have been traveling around with Jesus for the last several years of their life. But at this point in history, Jesus is gone. He's not with them anymore. And it says their power comes upon them. In verse 8, it says that Peter was filled by the Holy Spirit. And that's what empowered him to speak and to lead boldly. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel like you need the power to speak boldly to people? To lead boldly, maybe with your boss at work? Maybe with a neighbor? With your family? Or something like that? You know, we're headed into the holiday season, into the Thanksgiving and Christmas season. You know, by the way, it's only 5 weeks till Thanksgiving. You know that? Some of you just got chills right there. It's 9 weeks till Christmas, so you haven't even started shopping yet, some of you. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, some of you are like, what is this about? I did not expect this. Okay, neither did I. Just came out. We're headed into the holiday season, and for a lot of us, that means a lot of family get-togethers, and that means a lot of tough conversations with family and with friends and that sort of thing. And what I want you to know is that the Holy Spirit can and will give you the ability to speak boldly when you need to do it. Just rely on that. Know that that is there for you. Sometimes when you speak up boldly, it gets you in trouble. It leads to some suffering. The second thing the Holy Spirit does, luckily, is gives believers the power to endure suffering and pain. That's one of the primary purposes of the Holy Spirit, to come alongside us when we're hurting or when we're grieving or when we need help. Again, in the Bible, in Acts chapter 6, the church is growing rapidly. And the 12 disciples that Jesus had set up to lead the church, they can't handle it anymore. There's too many people. There's too many things to tend to. And so they choose 7 more men to help them out. One of the 7 men they asked to help is a guy named Stephen. In Acts chapter 6, Stephen immediately starts preaching, starts doing all kinds of miraculous things. And in Acts chapter 7, Stephen also gets arrested. He gets called before like the Supreme Court of that day. And he preaches a bold message, just like Peter did a few minutes ago in Acts chapter 4. But Peter is released and say, hey, don't preach anymore. Stephen is not released. Take a look at this, Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 54. He has just preached to these guys. He just told them that they're the ones who have killed Jesus, that they are these stiff-necked people. And it says, when they heard this, they were furious, and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And at this, they covered their ears and they yelled at the top of their voices, and they all rushed at him and they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell to his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now listen, I highly doubt that any of us on any of our campuses are going to be dragged outside the city and stoned. But we all experience pain. We all experience suffering in our life because that's just a part of being human. Just in the last month or so, I spent a good amount of time with a family that lost their teenage daughter to a long battle with cancer. And there's no doubt in my mind, as I watch them go through this, and I still watch them today, that it is the power, it is God inside of them. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that allows them to go through this suffering and pain in losing a child. And these brothers losing a sister. Just recently, I sat with a guy who was just out of the blue, let go from his job. He loved his job. He had been going to the same job for 25 years. And then just out of the blue, with no warning, you're done, we're downsizing, it's over. And this guy is upset. He's frustrated. He wants to hurt somebody. And I promise you that it's the Holy Spirit, it's God inside of him, because he is a believer in Jesus Christ. He has God inside of him. It is that is allowing him to go through this difficult time, this challenging time. I talk with junior high and high school students all the time, and it's amazing how many of our students are slammed and ridiculed for their Bible-based beliefs in our public schools. I'm telling you, it's true. There's so many of our students who have friends around them saying, you know, what do you mean you're not going to have sex? It's what everybody does. Who are you? Well, what do you mean you're not going to cheat on a test? I mean, everybody is cheating on the test. You're not even going to get caught. Why aren't you going to cheat? Come on. What do you mean you're not going to lie to your parents about where you've been? I mean, everybody lies to their parents. That's just what you do. It's a game you play and you get away with it. What do you mean you're not going to listen to that song? Why don't you want to listen to that song? It's just a song. And so many of our students in public and private schools get slammed on a regular basis for their Bible-based beliefs. And I know, because I know many of them and I'm trying to raise two of them, I know that it is only the Holy Spirit of God in their life that empowers them to get through some of those difficult days and moments. And I just want you to know, if you're sitting here today and you feel like the world is caving in on you, if you feel like your family is caving in on you, or your children are rebelling, or your job just isn't going right, I just want you to know that God inside of you can empower you through these times of suffering and pain. That's one of the primary purposes of the Holy Spirit of God. Let's continue on. Here's a third thing the Holy Spirit does, and that is it gives believers understanding. Gives believers understanding, specifically into the truths of God's Word. And I actually, this section of Scripture, if you have a program with you, I actually wrote the whole thing out. I didn't write it out, but I had them write it out, type it out actually, and put it in your program. Because this is such an important section of Scripture. I want to read the whole thing. It's a pretty big chunk of Scripture. But even if you've been in church for a lot of your life, my guess is you've never really read through this. And maybe don't fully understand what the Spirit does in regards to the truth of God's Word. So let's take a look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's in your program. It'll be on the screen starting in chapter 9. This is what is meant by the Scriptures, which say that no mere man has ever seen or heard or even imagined what wonderful things God has ready for those who love the Lord. But we know about these things because God has sent His Spirit to tell us, and His Spirit searches out and shows us all of God's deepest secrets. No one can really know what anyone else is thinking or what he is really like except the person himself. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. And God has actually given us His Spirit, not the spirit of the world, to tell us about the wonderful free gifts of grace and the blessings that God has given to us. In telling you about these gifts, we have even used the very words given to us by the Holy Spirit, not words that we as men might choose. So we use the Holy Spirit's words to explain Holy Spirit facts. But the man who isn't a Christian can't understand and can't accept these thoughts from God, which the Holy Spirit teaches us. They sound foolish to him, because only those who have the Holy Spirit within them can understand what the Holy Spirit means. Others just can't take it in. But the spiritual man has insight into everything, and that bothers, and that baffles the man of the world, who can't understand him at all. Now, I know that's a big chunk of Scripture right there, but let's just spend a moment here and let's unpack what this is saying. It's saying that the Bible, this book, is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you understand the truths in this book, that is an evidence of God's Spirit in you. It's evidence of that. Now, just to make sure there's no confusion on this today, let me just be as clear as I can. As I am teaching today, if you all of a sudden get it, what we're talking about, what we're reading about Peter and Stephen and all that kind of stuff, if you all of a sudden, if this makes sense to you, I just want you to know it's not because I am so smart. I promise. It's not because I've chosen just the right words or just the right stories or I've picked just the right illustrations. This is evidence of the Holy Spirit in you. One of the most powerful purposes of the Holy Spirit is to help people understand God's Word. Listen to this. You must have the Spirit of God in order to understand the truths of God. That's not just what I think. That's what we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you break it down, you must have the Spirit of God to really understand the truths of God. And I know some of you may argue with me and, you know, you say, well, Todd, I've basically understood everything you've said. I've understood everything you've read so far. I'm filling in the blanks. I understand all the points that you're making. And I don't think I've ever received the Holy Spirit in my life. I've never given my life to Jesus Christ. I don't have the Holy Spirit, but yet I understand everything. Listen to this. Here's what I would say to you. You may grasp the information, but you won't experience the transformation. Does this make sense? You may grasp the information. You may understand what I am cognitively saying to you today, but you won't experience the transformation in your life. You see, understand this. The truth of this book, the Bible, is far more than just hearing it on a Saturday or Sunday. It's living it on a Monday, right? There's so much more. In many ways, it's relatively simple to come to a church on a weekend and hear the Word of God. But to actually live this out on a Monday, hello, that is difficult, right? It's so difficult. And as I mentioned last week, I cannot do this on my own without the power of the Holy Spirit. It requires more than understanding. It requires empowerment to actually live it out. And that, the Bible says, is what the Holy Spirit does. That's one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit in your life. It allows you not only to understand it cognitively, but it gives you the power to live it out. Pretty cool. Here's a fourth and final thing that we want to study today, and that is that the Holy Spirit gives leadings and promptings to people in their lives. If you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus, you've given your life to Him, you should have these little promptings in your life. God lives in you. The Bible is clear that with God living inside of you, throughout the Scripture, it's clear that He also whispers to people's hearts. Have you ever felt like God is nudging you? Have you ever felt like God is prompting you or God is leading you towards something? Now, I know that promptings from God are kind of mysterious and kind of mystical, and I'm not sure really where they fit into your theology, frankly. But doesn't it seem true that if God has decided to live inside of us, not all of God, but it's all God, if God lives inside of us by the presence of His Spirit, that He will also give us promptings in our lives. He will also give us leadings and nudge us and speak to our hearts. I have so many different instances like this in my life and so many different stories I could share with you about God nudging people's hearts. You probably have many of them in your life that you feel like God's been doing that to you through the years. Sometimes you accept them, sometimes you don't. One of my very favorite stories of a prompting of God, I heard several years ago. I was at a conference and hear this guy named Lee Strobel speaking. Lee was a very prominent, successful writer at the Chicago Tribune. And midway through his career, he left the Chicago Tribune and went to work for another paper in town. Soon after he got to that other paper, he met some people. He became a Christian. He accepted Jesus into his life, and as Lee would say, that changed all sorts of things in his life. For the next several months after that, Lee just kept feeling like he needed to go back to the Chicago Tribune. Not so much to work, But there was a friend there that he felt like he needed to talk to. Somebody that he needed to tell about how he'd accepted God into his life, what Jesus was doing in his life. And he just couldn't shake this thing. It was like that. He said it was this pushing. God was like pushing me to do this. And he shook it off for a while. Some of you know what that's like. I know what that's like. Put it off until you just can't anymore. And so finally one day, Lee says, he leaves his work early and walks towards the Chicago Tribune. He gets there. He meets up with his friend in his cubicle. And the space all around him, he says, was chaotic. They were doing all kinds of construction on his floor, and there's all kinds of noise and people building and doing things. But Lee says, you know what? I figured I'm there. I may as well go for it. And so he just began to share what God was doing in his life. And he talked for about 30 or 40 minutes, all these different things. And Lee says when he got done, he looked at his friend, and his friend looked back at him across the table, and his friend was completely unmoved. Didn't get it, didn't understand, didn't know why it was such a big deal. Lee thanked him for his time and meeting, said, I'll see you again soon or something like that, and walked out of the Chicago Tribune. When he gets out of the way, he basically says to God, what was that about? I mean, I thought you were telling me to go there. I thought I was listening to your voice. You ever been there? God, I thought you were the one telling me to go. Was it really you, or did I just eat some bad pizza or something like that? What's going on? Am I just making this stuff up in my own mind? You ever been there? Several months later, Lee is at church, out in the lobby, and a guy comes up to him and says, are you Lee Strobel? He says, yeah, I'm Lee Strobel. He says, hey, I just want to thank you for sharing Jesus with me. Lee looked at him puzzled and said, what do you mean? I don't think we've ever met. And he says, well, actually, a few months ago, you came into the Chicago Tribune, and you sat down at the cubicle of a person I'm assuming you knew, and there was all kinds of construction going on, and you just began to talk to him in a loud voice. And what you don't know is I was working about 15 or 20 feet behind you. I was laying tile. And as you begin to speak, I listened to every single word you said. And later that night, I went home and I fell down to my knees and I accepted Jesus into my life. Thank you for sharing Jesus with me. Friends, listen. Listen. There is power when you and I obey promptings of God in our life. And when it comes to promptings, by the way, when it comes to God's nudging or leading in your life, there is no such thing as big ones and little ones. There is only obedience. I mean, who are we to say that the moment we are involved in is big or small? Right? We can't see the future. You and I can't see the future. We have no idea the scope of our momentary obedience in the grand plan of God, and I promise you there is power when you and I obey the promptings of God. And I don't know about you, but I want more than anything in my life to be a part of a powerful, Holy Spirit-prompted church. That's what I want to be a part of. That's what I want to help lead, and I'm sure you're the same way. And so here's the takeaway for you today. If you're taking notes today, this is the takeaway. This is the action point. This is what I want us to take home with us. It's simply this. Follow a Holy Spirit prompting or leading this week. Follow a Holy Spirit, a God prompting or leading in your life this week. That's the action point. It may be big in your eyes, or it may be small. It could be as easy as just sending somebody an email or a text message, and all of a sudden they get that text message and they text right back to you and say, you know what? I am at the bottom of my life and I can't believe you just texted me. Let's talk. And it's perfect timing. You never know. It could be buying just a $20 or $30 gift card to Fry's for groceries and just giving that to somebody. I don't know. It's just like, I don't even know why I'm giving you this. It may not even make sense, but I just felt like I should give you this gift card. It may be something bigger. Maybe you should give somebody your car. You're thinking, oh, I hope not. Right? Maybe you should give somebody your car. I don't know what God is prompting you to do in your life, but I'm asking you, that's the takeaway. Follow one of the things that God is calling you to do this week in your life. Take advantage of that. And for others of you sitting here today, maybe you're just kind of reinvestigating church, or you're new around CCV in the last few weeks or even today, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what God is doing in your life is He is prompting you even today to say, you know what? You need to be involved in a part of a place like this. And you know it. For your family, for your marriage, for your kids possibly. If you're single, you need the stability of a place like a CCV. And God is prompting you, even as you listen today, you're going, you know what, I know I need it. And you just commit to that prompting and say, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to see what it would be like to be a part of a place like this. And you come again next week. That may be your prompting. Whatever it is, big or small, follow through on that prompting. And don't forget this visual. Don't forget this visual. That you, if you have accepted Jesus into your life, you have God in you. Not all of God, but it's all God. 100% pure, undiluted, high octane God. And with that is always power. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity we have to just spend some time singing and studying the Bible. God, thank you so much for the Bible and how it shows us how you work in our lives, that we don't have to guess or wonder what you're up to, that you make it pretty clear to us. And God, I do pray that we would all be more sensitive to your leading in our lives, whether it's something brand new to us starting this week, or whether it's something we've been trying to walk with you for many years or many decades. God, make us all more sensitive to your leading in our lives and the power that comes with that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.